pretty good night. He hits it high. He hits it deep. He hits it out of here. Three lifetime home runs.
Now back to the best Giants talk in the Bay. The Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7, The Game.
Dwayne Kuiper on the call there. Rafi Devers with his 19th home run of the year. Rafi Devers had all the RBIs for the Giants last night. He was the offense, and no, he did not talk to the media afterwards, so we couldn't blow those out of proportion with him last night.
He took over the team lead in home runs, didn't he, from Casey Schmidt?
I believe he did. He's been red hot, yeah. Rafi Devers, last month plus. And it's one of those, he has nights like that, it's like, oh, should we? I don't know. By the way, baseball coverage on 95.7 The Game is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. I want to talk about Luis Arraez in just a moment. We talk about all the trade candidates in just a moment.
Actually, you know what you could do is maybe just go around every position and see whether they're a trade candidate or not.
Well, actually, we'll play a little game with that in a minute, because we did that on the morning roast the other day. Okay. We played a little game called Building Block or Trading Block. I want to play it maybe with you here, Dan, because it was a fun little exercise we did on Thursday morning, but you and I could play it, because then we can have our own opinions that are separate from the Joes.
You
could do the same with the Joes do, or we're just going to do a little bit better. But before we do that, though, I do want to give Dylan Smith some flowers last night. And the reason why, Dan, I mentioned this in the last hour, but for those who missed it, a few years ago when Jordan Hicks was on the Giants, I interviewed him for Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys, and he was, you know, trying to make the transition from reliever to starter, and I was asking him about that transition, and he mentioned, for relievers, you know, the media loves to talk to them when things go wrong. And they never want to talk to relievers when they do their job and things go right. We do that with starting pitchers when things go right. We do it with hitters when things go right. Why don't we do it with relievers? And that always stuck out to me. And I've always wanted to be like, you know what? I got to find ways to celebrate relievers when they do something good. So Dylan Smith in the sixth inning last night comes in with the bases loaded and nobody out. Robbie Ray walked the bases loaded. Not a great situation. And I tweeted out in that moment, Robbie Ray just walked the bases loaded. Good luck, Dylan Smith. Because that's just not a fun situation to be in. So he comes in, gets two quick outs, and here's how he got out of that sixth inning.
Runners will be on the move. Get on the ground on one hop. Robbie Ray is going to give Dylan Smith the biggest hug you've ever seen.
And that he did there. Dylan Smith gets out of the inning. And at that point, it seemed like, wow, this could be the moment of the night right there. Like, I'm writing down my notebook. Let's make sure we ask about Dylan Smith after the game, because that could be the big story. In fact, at one point, Justin De Los Santos, who covers the Giants for the Bay Area News Group, he came over and he's like, I think I might make that the story, but if I do, I'm worried the bullpen might blow it. That was foreshadowing right there. So, I mean, just as he's seen enough of this misery this year, he knew where it was going right away. So that was a really cool moment there. So, yeah, I went and had a conversation with Dylan after the game, and here's how that conversation sounded.
Yeah, so coming in sixth inning, bases loaded, no outs, that's never a fun situation. Walk me through what the emotions were like in that inning for you.
For me, it was just to stay calm. You know, go out there and attack the hitter, give my best stuff, and don't do too much. You know, I feel like sometimes when you get in those situations, you can do a little too much, and then that's when things kind of go left. So just kind of keeping my composure up there and making the pitches that I need to make.
How fired up were you when you got that third out?
Well, I was very fired up because I know it gives us a chance every time you go out there and you can dominate the zone. And you know, when the space is loaded and you go out there and you put up three outs in a row, like, that's big. You know, you never know what can happen. That can spark momentum in offense and for us.
What was it like sharing that moment with Robbie when we got back into the dugout?
It was awesome because he worked his butt off, you know, today, and he had that inning that just kind of got away from him. But other than that, he's pitched well, and I wanted to make sure, you know, that's how he finished.
So, good on you, Dylan Smith, coming in, getting the job done there. Unfortunately, it couldn't have been a bigger moment because of...
Did he appreciate you for doing that?
I think he did, yeah. He understood. Because, yeah, no one ever goes to talk to the relievers. So, you know, it's just... It's been such a... Dan, this has just been such a miserable season. Like, we're at the All-Star break almost. We got two more games. And I feel like I'm in a position where, like, I love this team. I've been a fan of this team since I was 7 years old. I'm always going to be a fan of this team. I'm not going to abandon any or anything like that. I'm still going to go to these games the rest of the season, whether we're talking about the Giants at this station or not. You know, the Niners, they're going to have a couple Sunday games in September at home, and I'm going to be at the ballpark watching the Giants doing whatever nonsense they're going to be doing that day, because that is how I operate. I always say, Dan, real fandom is forged in the dark times. Anyone can be a fan when times are good. And so I'm going to stick it out with this team no matter what. But God, part of me at the same time is just like, can we just end this now? Well, Dylan, I don't want to do a whole second half of this.
Dylan Smith is, he's been pretty good aside from that hiccup in Colorado, essentially.
I mean, when he first got here, everyone's like, hey, could he be the closer?
Yeah.
His only we laughed about this on the morning show. His qualification is he hasn't blown anything yet.
Yeah, right.
He's a solid guy, solid closer. Good guy. Again, I met him. Seems like a nice, got enough guy. But it's just, he's like everyone else in this bullpen. It's just, there's just a lot of nights where things just don't go well. And I think in a season like this, you got to find opportunities to really embrace the good moments. Bryce Eldridge hit his first splash hit the other night. Giants won the game. But I remember thinking when Bryce hit that splash hit, number 109, which he did get that ball back, by the way. Someone return his splash hit to him. So I guess that means McCovey Cove Day did not get his hands on that splash hit.
First of the season. Isn't that pretty deep into the campaign without a splash hit?
Oh, they've got a whole year without a splash hit one time.
Really?
Actually, you know what? They were stuck on splash hit 68 for over a year.
Wow.
I believe. Then they got splash hit 69. Nice. And then the next day they got splash hit 70. So like it's weird with how long these droughts go. Risotto, can I throw a load of homework assignment at you? Can you find me the longest drought of splash hits? Because I'm pretty sure it was 68 to 69, but I want to confirm that there. But yeah, they've gone an entire season without a splash hit before. So, but anyway, so yeah, Bryce hits that splash hit the other night. I'm thinking, well, you know what? This game's a win either way. Because Bryce hit a home run. I'm feeling good. Win or lose, I'm going to make this a happy night. And they ended up winning, going away that night. So it was a double happy night.
That's where we're at these days, huh? In terms of trying to locate something to cheer about with the San Francisco Giants. What do you think of Bryce coming up to the plate with the bases juice last night? Was there thoughts of what happened a couple of weeks back?
Oh, I'm thinking, Bryce could make the season again. I'm thinking Joe Shasky's going to record another video that we're going to have for us to play this morning. The future! Everything for the next 15 years! My son's asleep upstairs! And I'm getting all these delusions of grandeur. Nope. Grounder to second. First
pitch.
The
future! He's asleep upstairs right now! Bryce Eldridge! You just made the season! The present! The future! The present! You just made the season!
That was literally what was going through my mind when Bryce is coming up to the plate. And then it, ends up being, let me see. I'm going to do something I don't really like doing, but I'm going to do it anyway here. So Bryce hits that ball, and then it's... Yeah, so that was that feeling there, watching Bryce.
It was, he's been so good at the plate in terms of his patience. In retrospect, you're like, maybe go a little deeper in the count, take a couple of pitches, but that's just after the fact. I mean, I completely understand or give him the entire empowerment to, if you feel as though that was a pitch that you could do damage with, then you got to let him go. So good pitch location.
Yeah, he's worked so many great at bats this year, Dan.
And I like him
as a rookie. He's been really good in the field. Ron Washington's raving about this kid. It's funny, actually, you'll hear about this when I hear the chat later, but Wash, he didn't know that he was 21 until the end of spring training. Wash thought that Bryce was like 24, 25 years old. He finds out at the end of spring training that he's actually 21 years old. And I remember we had his high school coach, Mark Jorman, on the morning roast. He talked about how Bryce has always been very mature for his age, always, wiser than his years. He is a very mature 21-year-old. So he's had so many great at-bats this year, so many great moments. It's hard for me to get really angry in that situation. That being said, though, you got to work a count. You really do. And you're 21 years old. You're a rookie. That's how you learn your lesson.
Yeah, that's true. But sometimes, Barry Bonds would always say, you're just going to – and oftentimes with him, you wouldn't get that one pitch. But every at-bat, typically, you're going to get one pitch to hit. There's going to be one pitch. And so if he felt as though that was the one he could drop, because he's usually pretty patient. He had a walk, I want to say, against a left-hander earlier in the game.
Yeah, it was a really good at-bat throw on that walk.
You know, the thing about Bryce Eldridge, the more you watch him, he has to play, doesn't he, Sam? Every day in the field. Like, a 21-year-old should not be a designated hitter when he has the potential to be in the dirt. Again, this just screams, forget about Devers being a mistake. Okay, those things happen. As a GM, you wanted a big bat, and Giants clearly needed one at the time, but it hasn't worked out, I don't think. I mean, we can look at it in its totality. I still think the daunting part of that is that you still have another 9 years and $250 million on that bone. So if you can move Devers, I think that that is high priority right now with the emergence of Bryce Eldridge. He should not be rotating in and out of the DH spot. The question now becomes, does anybody want Devers? And according to reports, they've obviously have solicited and dangled the young man, Rafael Devers, but there's not a lot of suitors at this point. But I still think he's a high priority if I'm Buster Posey to move him at the deadline.
Yeah, you mentioned Bryce there. He has played four of the last five games now at first base, so he's been getting a lot of time there lately. And he was asked about that yesterday. I don't have the sound. I'll just read off the transcript what he said. So it was Evan Wiebeck actually asked the question, you know, 4-5 for Eldridge at first. Is the balance starting to tip in that direction of Bryce at first base? Tony said, yeah, a little bit too, just looking after guys' bodies, things like that. Both those guys, Rafi and Bryce, are inching over at first base because they have different strengths and weaknesses. The good thing about that, both of them, is we've got confidence in both of them. Just want to make sure everybody is where they at, where they need to be physically. So, which is a very diplomatic way of saying, yeah, we like both those guys, but Bryce is getting the run in right now. Rafi's been a lot better on handling a lot of those pop-ups. Bryce's lateral mobility has been a little bit better, I think, than what this coaching staff was anticipating for a guy his size, his young. Shout out Ron Washington for that. I do agree with you, Dan. I would like to see a lot more Bryce at first base the rest of the way. And if Rafi can keep hitting well as a DH, because remember, his whole thing is, you know, ooh, I like to play first base and then also, you know, hit. But if he can hit and also still be a DH, it makes it a lot easier, I think, to stick with Bryce at first, Rafi DH.
But I don't think it's a long-term solution, because we know what Rafael Devers is like if he doesn't get a chance to play in the field. See the Boston Red Sox. Right? Like, he wants to be out in the field. Why? This is just a matter of time before it explodes. You cannot appease both parties. Bryce Eldridge has to play every single day in the field. He's too young to be a DH. You can revisit DH 15 years from now, but as of right now, he's got to be in the field.
So I think this gets us into our Luis Arraez conversation here, Dan, because I understand why Giants fans want to keep Luis Arraez. I love him. He's been one of my favorite watches this year. And John Shea, the Standard, had a chance to catch up with Arraez earlier this week. And John floated the idea of, would you like to sign an extension with this team and hang around here a little bit? And Luis said, yeah, why not? Especially because this organization gave me a big opportunity to improve my defense. I would love to come back here. We're still in the season, and I don't think about that right now. But in the future, let's see what happens. I'm open to listen to whatever they want to say to me. Which is, you know, I've heard statements like that before from guys who then get traded a few weeks later and never wear that uniform ever again. But it is the first time that we have an on-record comment of Arraez signing an extension. And I still maintain, Dan, I've said this a lot on this show, Luis Arraez is a privilege. You have to kind of earn the right to hold on to a guy of that ilk. If the Giants are going to sign him to an extension, whether 3 to 5 years, let's split the difference, call it four. Your next 4 years, your infield is locked in Chapman, Adames, Arraez, Devers, Eldridge. That's not a tenable situation. The Devers-Eldridge balance, to your point, is part of that. The only way I think you can truly hold on to Luis Arraez past this deadline is if you move off two of the three in Adames, Devers, and Chapman. Which two of those three, I think I waffle on it every day. One day I wake up and I'm like, Adames and Chapman need to go. Next day I wake up and it's like, you know, I think it's Chapman and Devers need to go. Next day I wake up, actually Adames and Devers are the guys that need to go. And maybe we can make a YouTube poll question there, you know, trade two of the three. Who do you want to go there? But I don't think you can even start talking about an Arraez extension as long as you're locked in with those other three in your infield for the next several years.
Well, I can tell you that, yes, ideally, if you can move Adames, that would be fantastic. But if I had to choose two of the three, clearly, it's the corner infielders. Why? Because they're taking the positions of, and I'm playing on the word here, they're taking the positions and inhibiting the growth of the cornerstone of your team right now. Who are the two best players when you think about the future? It's Bryce Eldridge, who should be holding down first base every day, and then it's Casey Schmidt, who should be on the dirt every single day at third base. Clearly, this guy, that is his natural position. It is not left field, and as good as he was at second base, he is a third baseman. I'm sure you talked about and saw what it is he did in Colorado, which is one of the most, I'm right there with Fleming. That play that he had where he touched the bag and then was able to throw underhand essentially across his body from foul territory, that dude is a third baseman and should be playing there every single day. So to me, it's very clear that the two guys who are holding down the corners for the San Francisco Giants currently, that being Chapman and Devers, if you can move them, even if you're eating contract, they have got to go. Because you're limiting the growth of what is the foundation in the future of this franchise. I think this team is going to be built around three guys. And it's not Chapman, Adames, and Devers. It's Jung-Hoo Lee, it's Bryce Eldridge, and it's Casey Schmidt. And two of those guys are corner infielders, and they need to start ASAP.
That's well said. I very much agree with you. I also think the other reason why you need to keep Adames is that none of your shortstops, he's your most game-ready shortstop right now. If Willy Adames disappeared tomorrow, for whatever reason, you know, not a morbid or dark reason like that, let's just pretend he isn't on the team for a day. Christian Koss is probably your first guy to go in at short. I mean, you could put Casey Schmidt there. He's not a primary shortstop, though. He's more of a second baseman or third baseman kind of guy. So you don't really have any other options at shortstop. You know, Aslivas Basabe is probably your next man up in the minors if it's not Christian Koss. Yeah. And I think Basabe is like 24, 25, but I don't know what he has to offer at the big league level. All of your young shortstops, Johnny Level, Josar Gonzalez, Luis Hernandez, Gavin Killian, Rock Chwalski, if the Giants do get him this weekend, those guys are 2-3 years away from making the big leagues. You need a shortstop in Willy Adames. Here's the problem, though, Dan. If I had to pick one of those three guys, let's just pretend positions didn't matter. And I had to pick one of those three guys and that I want this guy to stay because I feel like he would be the best fit for this clubhouse going forward. It might be Matt Chapman. He's the guy who sets a tone and an attitude that I want the young guys on my team to gravitate around to. But to your point, he blocks Casey Schmidt.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, it's a difficult decision, I think, to pick which two of the three because you got Devers, who's the meat and potatoes of your lineup right now. The way he's been hitting over the last few months, this is why you have a guy like Rafi Devers in your lineup. He could have a down year and still hit 35 home runs and drive in a 100 runs this year, Dan.
Yeah, I'd say over the last week he's been pretty good, but he disappears a lot. And yes, he's been very, very good, but he's number one on my hit list. And again, Chapman's right behind him again because you need Casey Schmidt as well as Bryce Eldridge. But here's the thing about Devers is that, and putting aside what it is that he did, that huge public blowout where he refused to come out for a pinch hitter, for a pinch runner, but I think there might be an attitude issue there. And that's really, when you talk about cultivating the culture, and I know that Tony Vitello says all the right things, that he likes this guy. I'm not necessarily sure that that's how the rest of the team feels. There is one guy, Sam, on this team that does not bust ass down the line on a ground ball to the second baseman or a routine ground ball, and it's Devers. Devers does not run out ground balls. That stuff, players see that in the dugout, and it has an effect. There's a cause and effect. I'm a firm believer that if you cultivate the right culture in that locker room, in the clubhouse, there's a linear, direct line to sort of wins and losses. I mean, I always harken back to 2010. And I remember Mike Kruko, who never does these sort of things. When they were nip and tuck, remember that, with the San Diego Padres, and he came down to the last day of the regular. Sure you do, obviously. And I remember Kruko, where the Giants were trailing the Padres and there was still a month to go in the season. He said, this team is going to go to the postseason. And that's not something Kruko did. And what is it that he was using to support all of that? He's like, there is just a vibe in that locker room. And you could see it. Because at the time, there were just a bunch of castaways. It was like, who are these guys? But there was the feeling was palpable Well, the opposite can also be true. And when you have guys like Devers, albeit he can make contact and he can do damage better than anybody in the club, but if there's a sort of rippling detrimental effect, guys like that can be really cancerous to a team. And I think you need to identify it. And again, just, you know, cut your mistakes sooner rather than later. It's not a big deal that Buster Posey went after this guy, but to me, it's not working out, especially when you're talking about long term. There's not another 2 or 3 years, but 9 years with this guy. I need to move him, especially with the emergence of Bryce Eldridge, and especially what it is that I saw in terms of him not wanting to come with that public display, and the fact that there seems to be a lot of being moaning with this guy behind closed doors.
So I have heard whispers, you know, that the streets are talking, the little birds are out. I have heard whispers that there is a frustration with, let's just call it the effort. I don't want to say the effort level, but just the commitment to putting in the work. I'm going to go with that term. Don't pretend I never said effort level. The commitment to work from certain players that are making certain a lot of monies with this team. And yeah, to your point, Dan, the reason why I want to keep a Matt Chapman on this team is because you're never going to get that from him. He's a guy that he shows up to work every day and sets, like, this is how you put that work in. I want Casey Schmidt to look at guys like a Matt Chapman, like, that's how I need to work. I want, you know, the Drew Gilberts, the Jonah Coxes. You know, I want them to look at Matt Chapman, like, that's how I'm going to go into work every day. Luis Arraez, same thing. Those are the tone setters I want. I see Bryce out there every day with Wash. I see Luis Arraez out there every day with Wash. I see Casey Schmidt out there every day with Wash. I see Rafi Devers out there sometimes with Wash. I see Willie Adames out there sometimes with Wash. Chapman puts out the work every single day. Like, you see the pattern there. You got two guys, your two biggest money-making guys, basically not putting in the full work that I think you would expect for guys to make with that kind of money. And that's just not a situation that is healthy for a clubhouse like this. It's not a situation for a clubhouse to succeed. And you're seeing the product on the field. And I'm not trying to just say, you know, Willie and Rafi are the reason why things are the way they are. It's just another piece of the puzzle of why things are the way they are. And so, yeah, that if they are the two that you can get rid of or trade off of at this deadline, yes. But I also think those are the two hardest deals of those three.
Nobody wants them.
Yeah.
What would you do with Arraez?
With Arraez, I mean, if he would take a 4-year extension, I would do it. But again, it's contingent on, as I said, you got to move off two of those three.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to want Adames right now. I mean, he has had, and we can get into this on the other side, the production he has had this year has been so hollow. Dan, he's got 15 home runs this year, which is pretty good. 21 total runs have scored off those 15 home runs. His home runs have been so unproductive.
How many solo shots of those 21?
Of those 21, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Half of his home runs.
Over half. 11 of his 15 home runs have been solo home runs. Safe. And then with the Rafi Devers thing, that contract is so massive and the reputation so muddied. Like, what the Giants did to the Red Sox last year, coming in and rescuing them from that deal, no one's doing that for the Giants. And that's going to be a massive undertaking for Buster to unload that contract. Let's keep this conversation going on the other side. Brett and Martinez, I see you. We'll get to you on the other side as well. Oh, Keith Law. Mm-hmm. He's reporting that Rock Chorowski's going at number one today in the draft. Well, that sucks. Brought to you by Free Roman Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Now back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, make sure you're signing up to become a member of Game Pass Pro and 95.7 The Game's YouTube channel. Get access to private AMAs with the host, exclusive content from events and in-depth insights after the biggest games. Go to YouTube, search 95.7 The Game, and sign up now to become the latest member of Game Pass Pro. Get full shows, really cool interviews. Maybe this Ron Washington interview that we got coming up at 11. Maybe that'll be a Game Pass Pro content there. We shall see. I asked the boss about it last night. He didn't really give me an answer. So shows where things are out there. 888-957-9570 is the number to call. I have not been doing a good job of giving out the number this show. My apologies, everybody. Let's go to one of our callers, though. Brett Martinez. What do you got for us today? Brett, you're on the wrap. And Brett, got to pot him up. Brett, are you there? Going once. Maybe Brett's not there. Maybe tell Brett to call back. And we'll try that again later. So, nope, tried to go to a call. That didn't really work out. But 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text. We do have a YouTube poll up right now. If you have to trade two of these three, who are you trading? Chapman, Adamas, or Devers? Right now, leading at 50%, it's Chapman and Adamas and keeping Devers. Not a lot of votes in yet so far on that one. And why do you want to trade those players or two of those three players? Well, in part because fans don't really want them on the team anymore. But two, because Luis Arraez told John Shea earlier this week in the SF Standard about the prospect of an extension. Yes, why not? Especially because this organization gave me an opportunity to improve my defense. I would love to come back here. We're still in the season. I don't think about that right now, but in the future, let's see what happens. I'm open to listen to whatever they want to say to me. First things first, Dan, do you believe that Arraez is being truthful when he says that? Because I'm a cynic.
Oh, he's just being an agent. That's, of course, his agents are like, you got to keep every door open. Why would he? Why would he say that? I mean, is he going to say, no, I'm not coming back here? I mean, of course, you want to. You're going to the highest bidder. He has basically set up his career for this payday. Like, this is everything that he's done this year is for him to get paid. The big question, Sam, going forward is just the years. I think you alluded to this. I think that's really what it's going to come down to. It's like, if we can get him to 3 years, we'll do it because, as you mentioned, there are a lot, the best prospects on the San Francisco Giants are all middle infielders, right? And so if you're going to clog that middle spot for the next 5 years and it's going to be a hefty price tag, I don't know if it makes sense for the Giants. But it just really comes down to, and I think he's going to want to get paid, obviously, but it's just the years when it comes to Arraez at this point. And so, yeah, I think, listen, if you're able to move Chapman especially and Casey Schmidt goes over to third and you couldn't move Devers and you couldn't move Adamas and you only use one of the three, that still makes a strong statement and case to keep Arraez if Casey Schmidt's now your everyday third baseman.
That is probably the easiest solution there. Yeah, just slotting Casey in at third. I mean, we're kind of seeing it right now with Casey at third, Adamas at short, Arraez at second. The other reason, Dan, I think if you want to make a case against trading Luis Arraez is when you look at all the second basemen that have been traded this decade, the returns have not been like that great. I did a little dive yesterday and hold on. Dealing with allergy stuff today. Trey Turner was traded to the Dodgers in 2021. From the Nationals. The Nationals sent Keibert Ruiz and Josiah Gray and a couple other prospects that you never heard of. Ruiz has been an okay catcher. Josiah Gray been an okay starting pitcher for the Nationals. Outside of that, though, the best trade, though, that you've seen, like in terms of a return for the teams that traded him away, is probably what the Marlins got for Luis Arraez when they traded him to the Padres a few years ago. They got four players there. Dylan Head, Nathan Martorella, Woo-Suk Go, who's now on the Twins. Those other two guys, they're still toiling around the minors. And then center fielder Jacob Marcy, who we saw him when the Giants played the Marlins a few weeks ago. He's a solid ball player. Now, Luis Arraez, he's been to a couple All-Star games already. He's going to go to another one this week. He might go to another one or two in his career. I don't know what Marcy's ceiling is as a baseball player. But, I mean, there's likely he'll probably make one or two All-Star games, if being realistic. So that's the best return that we've seen for a second baseman. And Marcy's a solid player, but if you're hoping for some game-changing, dynamic return of a prospect for a second baseman, what we've seen this year, whether it's Jazz Chisholm in 2024, Whit Merrifield in 2022, Isaac Paredes in 2024 when the Rays sent him to the Cubs, they did get Christopher Morel back in that one. He's okay. Paul DeJong in 2023, he's not much of a guy. Like, you're not getting great returns for the second baseman at the trade deadline. Mm. I wonder if there's a situation where the offers you get for Arraez are just so meh that they do just kind of hold on to him and then maybe try to work out an extension.
You know, Jazz Chisholm plays with a lollipop in his mouth sometimes. Did you ever hear about that?
I did see that. Could you imagine if Willie Adamas did that or Ralphie Devers did that? Oh,
but just getting back to Arraez, I think that if they don't move Adamas or if they can't move Adames, because you know they're trying. If they can't move Adames and they can't move Chapman and they can't move Devers, and then they trade Arise, how's that going to sit with Giant fans?
Well, you know what, Dan? I would say that Luis Arias, in a way, perfectly represents what has made this season so frustrating. Like, coming into this season, there was a lot to like about this team and what they could do, especially offensively. And Arias has been everything that he was promised, and more. He's been the prince that was promised, if you want to make a Game of Thrones reference here. And everything around him, though, has just been so miserable and drab and just unfortunate this year. Like, Luis Arias has kind of represented the timeline where everything goes right for the Giants, but instead it's a reminder of what could have been in a season of just darkness and misery. And to have to trade Arias but still be stuck with your three anchor contracts would just double down on that feeling. This is the one good thing we have this year. Not the one good thing. I mean, Bryce and Logan have been good too this year. Jung-Hoo Lee, fantastic. Casey Schmidt. But Luis Arias has been the brightest of bright spots this season. And a reward for that is having to watch him get shipped away somewhere else for a guy who may or may not provide value for this team in the future. Like, that's just so twisted and not fun if you're a Giants fan.
I would say the other thing about this, and this is something that ownership oftentimes takes into account, and one of the reasons why, I don't know, did you guys talk about that ESPN article that had Jung-Hoo Lee as trade bait at the deadline? Which, it's obviously ESPN has not spent a lot of time in San Francisco and is familiar with the rapport of the fans.
I'm wearing my Jung-Hoo Lee jersey today.
And Jung-Hoo Lee. That, there's no, if Buster Posey does that, you think it's bad enough with what it is you've done with Adames, Chapman, and Devers. You trade Jung-Hoo Lee, don't even bother coming back, my man. That's suicide.
Steven, did you just break a little bit of news in my ear?
No, I did break some news.
Breaking news.
Rock Chulaski, first overall pick in this year's draft.
Yeah.
And it seems like we're going to have the Giants pick during this show. So we might have the breaking news sounder ready for when that does happen.
Ooh. So did the catch?
Let me know actually when the Giants are on the clock. Maybe we can take that live if you guys know how to set
it
that
up. It is on Peacock.
There. So did that?
We are not going to be able to take that live then.
So did the catcher go number two, or is the number two pick still on the clock?
Patience, Dan. Right. Still on the clock.
Who is picking at number two?
Vaughn Lackey, by the way, is the name of the catcher.
Dude, his man. Forget about Chulaski. This Vaughn Lackey guy.
Well, remember the last catcher from Georgia Tech?
Yeah. Boop, boop. Joey Ooh. Bart.
Oh.
Yeah. ACC catchers. I don't know, man.
Yeah,
Giants are 1-for-3 on their last three ACC catchers.
Rizzo, though, you've seen Vaughn Lackey, right?
I've seen highlights of Vaughn Lackey.
He ain't no Joey Bart.
He could hit.
And he can run, and he can throw. This guy's like, he could be like a power forward. This guy's for real. But
he could be Dan Devone.
Well, let's not get out of hand here. He'll never have that sort of career. But let's talk about that pitcher, Jackson Flora. Like, is that?
I guess he's now the guy that we're, because this team does need pitching.
So he's supposed to be, I find this fascinating, he's supposed to be the best pitcher, at least in the first round, the top 10.
I mean, he's the guy who, again, if it wasn't Rock mocked to the Giants at four, it was Jackson Flora mocked to the Giants at four. So,
but here's what I've been reading about this guy, is that, and this is how technical things now, back in the day when it was like a Major League Baseball draft, if the guy threw 95 or 98 on the corners, it's just like, get him, the dude's got gas. Now, because they're able to break all this stuff down, apparently he doesn't have enough movement on his fastball, or he plays at too much contact, not enough strikeouts. And so suddenly you're seeing that San Francisco may be going another direction for a high school player or a couple of high school players. So I find this sort of fascinating. Because the first three players are supposed to be locks. And then when it gets to the Giants, now it gets Jackson Flora, clearly the number one pitcher, supposed to come off the board, but apparently there's a few warts in the guy. And so I'm sort of fascinated now, whereas I thought it was a done deal, Jackson Flora, but now potentially I'm hearing some high school guys that could come up and surprise people as the number four pick.
I mean, for me, when it comes to the draft, and Andrew Bagley wrote a really good story about the Giants in the draft the other day in The Athletic, and he talked to Michael Holmes, their scouting director, who's in charge of putting all these draft boards together. It's on the Giants, basically. It's obviously on Buster Posey to make the correct pick. I've never really been a draft for need guy when it comes to the Major League Baseball draft, because baseball prospects are just...
Yeah.
It's so different from
your best player
the NFL
available.
And the NBA. I am a best take the best player available kind of guy, because, again, right now the Giants have four shortstops as their top four prospects. One of those guys will play short. One of those guys will play second.
Or the outfield.
One of those guys will get moved to the outfield. One of those guys will probably get traded. Like, these things are just, these prospects are so fungible here. If they feel like their best option available is taking a first baseman, take that first baseman. Because you know what that first baseman becomes? Either you move him to right field, or he's a trade chip to bring in a real starting pitcher later down the line. So it's these things that can go in so many different directions. We have no idea what this team will look like in three, four years.
Let me ask you, has Paul Skeens and Mizorowski sort of influenced potentially your decision-making?
Into what do you mean?
Well, because they're such fast track to the major leagues.
I mean, Paul Skeens was the number one overall pick, and he looked like one of those guys who was ready to go day one. And sometimes those guys come along, sometimes they don't. It's just, because with baseball, a lot of times you draft these guys, and it's like, cool, Rock Chorowski. See you in 3 years. Like, that's what's usually how it happens, because it takes that long. You mentioned Rock is a guy who could be plug and play, so maybe Rock's a bad example, but that's where it is for a lot of these first-round draft picks.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, versus, like, the NFL or the NBA draft, like, Fernando Mendoza gets drafted number one overall. There's no question he's going to expect to be under center almost immediately, if not halfway through the season, if the Raiders decide to do something with Kirk Cousins there. A.J. DeBanza being the first overall pick for the Wizards, he's expected to be right in that starting lineup day one for the Wizards. Even with the Warriors, with the Axel Lindeberg, there's an expectation Warrior fans want to see him in the starting lineup right away. But you know for a fact that Lindeberg will be, hopefully, in the rotation all season long, Steve Kerr. So, but with baseball, though, your number one pick, you're not going to see him for a few years. So it's just, it's a completely different value dynamic, Dan. We don't know what this team's going to look like in 3 years. Like, maybe they take a third baseman. Maybe they do need a third baseman in a couple of years. We don't know how these things can play out. What if Casey Schmidt makes it to free agency, goes somewhere else? We have no idea. So that's just kind of how I look at the MLB draft.
Yeah, I guess the question I would have is, because pitching might be a little bit different just simply because of the way these guys throw. And I think that Major League Baseball and the college draft or college baseball, that gap has been narrowed more so than I think it has in a long, long time. What do we got?
Well, Rizzo just got in my ear and let me know that we are going to be able to take the Giants pick at number four. Ooh, this will be fun. I can't wait. How much time we got? Until that, are they still on clock for number two?
The pick is in for the Rays. That's all it says.
Okay, and there you have the number two pick, right?
Number two pick, correct.
And how long are teams on the clock for?
I have no idea. The commissioner's at the podium right now announcing the pick.
Ooh. Oh, sorry.
Are they doing it like that of the NFL draft?
They're trying to make the Major League draft a lot like the NFL draft, and I just...
They did it in Seattle last year, and they were like
in Philly this year. I don't think that works.
It was like 35 people.
Grady Emerson goes to the Rays, one of the shortstops.
Lackey has slipped, ladies and gentlemen. Vaughn Lackey, the star catcher, now
got
suddenly
caught lacking.
Well, if he's available at four, do you take him?
You know what, Dan? If he's the best player on the board, yes. I don't care. I mean, the Giants do need catching depth right now. Let's knock out some calls here while we wait for the Giants to make their pick. I was not expecting for us to take their first round pick live during the show, but hey, why not? It's weekend wrap, baby. 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text. Let's go to the coach in Vallejo. Coach, what's going on? You're on the wrap.
Hey guys, good morning. I was listening to your show while I was driving, and about the Giants, and I think the biggest detriment. Well, first of all, you have to ask, do you want to be better now or you want to be better later? And Matt Chapman seems to be the big holdup for me, okay? He's occupying third base, and he hasn't been a productive player in a few years now. And this year is really bad, and Schmidt should be there every day. I mean, that kid can hit, he can field, he has a great arm, and obviously he's been learning from Chapman. He plays defense. Chapman's defense has even been slipping. So I would play Schmidt every day. And I agree with you guys that Eldridge should play every day. My only rap against him is he is awfully slow, and he can cross up the bases. you know. And for a young man, I don't know how you make a guy faster. I don't think you can. But that guy can hit. He's awesome. Yeah. But, yeah, my big change is Adames and Chapman, because Chapman would be an eighth-place hitter on most teams right now. He is horrible. And Adames hasn't hit a curveball all year, and he's not a great shortstop. So those are the two guys that I would be looking to move. I would get off of Adames and Chapman and let Schmidt play every day. I don't know who's the backup shortstop, but they need somebody else there. Devers, he's going to get his numbers, okay? And he's a, I don't know, let's convince him to be the DH. He plays very good defense, though, and he has a good arm. Yeah. And Devers actually runs well when he runs, you know. But, yeah, Chapman is my big hang-up, guys, and that's all that's my input. I would have Schmidt there every day because right now he's probably the best all-around player on the team. Okay? So thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call, Coach. Don't disagree with his logic there, but it's just, yeah, the Bryce and Rafi dynamic at first base, though, to your point, Dan, you made earlier, that's one that's it's not going to get better.
Mm-mm.
And Coach says, you know, I'll just convince Rafi to play to do DH. Ask Craig Breslow, the Boston Red Sox, how that went.
Exactly.
It's, I mean, ideally, you got to move off all three, but I think right now I'm leaning towards, again, I know I said I like to keep Chapman, but the Casey Schmidt blocking changes things a little bit. Unless, let me throw a thought at you, Dan. What if you kept Casey Schmidt in left, but you move Elliot Ramos? Is he a guy that you would explore trading at this deadline? Because he's an interesting case because he's hitting the ball really well. He's got, I think, 25 home run power. The defense is bleh. But he's also not slated to be a free agent until 2030. So you got a lot of team control there.
Yeah, I wouldn't move him.
You think he's a building block guy?
Well, I don't know if he's a building block guy, but I wouldn't move him because the fact that he's got stick from the right side of the plate, everybody covets that. Not only that, I don't think, are you telling me that, are you giving me this scenario because you can't move off of Chapman? Is that what we're saying here? Because
I guess still if think you, that having let's Casey say Schmidt your, play, let's say your move is to trade Devers and Adames. And so you're keeping Chapman. So in that situation, then Casey Schmidt's probably playing in the outfield. I want Jung-Hoo Lee to play right field. I don't like Jung-Hee in center. I like him in right. I don't like Ramos in any position but right field either. So you have some redundancy there. So I guess it's, would you rather have Elliot Ramos in left field or Casey Schmidt in left field, I guess is one other way to boil it down in this scenario.
I just don't want, of all my choices, I don't want Casey Schmidt in left field.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Casey Schmidt's been on par with Ramos defensively in left. That being said, though, so I have an embarrassingly low bar of defensive expectations for the Giants. Can you be better than what Barry Bonds did in 2006 and 2007 when he was in an incredibly below average defender who was getting about 26, 27, 28 home runs? Ramos, I think, can do that. I think Bonds' 07 defensive run save was like minus 14. And Ramos is at minus 12 this year, which I guess there's time for it to go even further south. If you believe that you can get better defense out of Ramos plus this hitting, then yeah, I think it makes sense to keep him, but it depends on how believable you think that is. By the way, this just in from Susan Slusser. Buzz here in Philly is that the Giants will take University of UC Santa Barbara right-hander Jackson Flora out of Foothill, big Giants fan, with the number 4 pick if he is available, but Jacob Lombard and Eric Booth Jr. remain in the mix.
Guys, he's going to be available because Vaughn Lackey's going to the Minnesota Twins.
Ooh, are the Giants on the clock now?
Giants are on the clock.
Giants are officially on the clock. Let's bang out a call here before we get to the Giants pick. Brett in Vallejo, what do you got for us, Brett?
Hey, guys. I don't know what it is with the bullpen. It's like I'm watching the game last night. Well, I do know what it is with the bullpen. They're just trash. But it's like I expect them to lose now. Like I literally watched them with a one-run lead going in the ninth inning going, who are they going to bring in? Like, Ryan Walker is just garbage. I don't know what he's doing anymore. Gates is just garbage. I've never seen the Giants bullpen just so horrible. And I honestly don't think the offense is the problem. I mean, I'd rather have a problem with depth at certain positions and then trying to, like, trade and move and just to fill a position. It's like, let's get depth and then work with that. And, you know, as far as, like, this season goes, you know, you got to chalk it up to an L. And I don't think it's Tommy Vitello's problem. I don't think it's his fault. I'm sorry. I don't think it's his fault. He got dealt a raw deal, and, you know, he's trying to make the best of it coming in as a brand new coach. And unfortunately, it is what it is. But yeah. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Of course, Brett. No, Brett, I agree with you. I don't think Tony is the problem, but I don't know how much of a solution he's been either. Like, it's, you know, what would Bruce Bochy do with this bullpen? Probably get a lot of the same results, but I also don't know if things would fester like they have this season at times, like they have under the stewardship of Tony Vitello.
Yeah, and I think you have to think about it also from the lens of Buster Posey. If he moves off of Tony Vitello, he's admitting that he's made yet another mistake, and these mistakes now are beginning to pile up on the side of the column for Buster.
Matt Chapman, he went above Farhan Zaidi in a move that basically announced Farhan's departure. That's looking like a disaster. Gives out the largest contract ever given to a player in Giants history to Willy Adames. And with the Willy Adames thing, we look at that money and what he's supposed to be, the highest paid player in Giants history. He's like the 7th or 8th highest paid shortstop in baseball today. Like, he is not paid like an elite shortstop, but he's expected to be like an elite Giant based on how he's been paid. And I just don't think there's a matchup there. And then, of course, Rafi Devers has been sometimes a disaster, sometimes a success. It depends which day of the week that we're asking that question on there. But yeah, that's just be another high profile mistake from Buster.
To put a bow on the Casey Schmidt, Elliot Ramos conversation, let me just sum it up this way. I'd much rather have Casey Schmidt replace Chapman than Elliot Ramos.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I think, again, I like Chapman for the intangibles if I kept it just baseball reasons. So again, Dan, this is why I oscillate between all three of these options. And again, our poll question on YouTube and our question we asked our fans, 888-957-9570, you have to trade two of the three, Chapman, Adames, or Devers. Who are the two you're trading? Who's the one you're keeping? Right now in our YouTube poll, Chapman, Adames is in the lead and you're keeping Devers. I flip it every day. I've flipped it several times just in this segment. I start off saying, you know what, I think I want to keep Chapman. But then it's like, you know what? And you make a great point about clearing space for Casey and Bryce. Chapman and Devers might be the best options to trade. Yeah. I don't know if I want to keep it, Thomas, though. I feel like there's no right answer, but there's no wrong answer either. And that's Giants baseball.
Well, the question really becomes is just, do they have an actual opportunity to do this? Are we just theorizing here, or do you think there's potential takers when it comes to Devers and Chapman? That's really where we're at.
And I think if Chapman was healthy, I think you could find a team that would take him.
My bigger question
I don't think anyone's coming in to save the day on Devers. I just don't see it.
Is Ruderman going to give us the Yankees potentially again?
I mean, whoever wants to take Devers, the Giants have to. I don't care if the Giants have to eat all the money. I don't care. Eat as much money as you need to.
Yeah, I think they're at
in
that
order
point
to make this happen.
Yeah, well, they're willing to eat money, but yeah, you can't eat all of it.
Where are we on our Giants on the clock here? Because we're up against the break, and we got Ron Washington on the other side.
Well, Peacock just went to commercial. They're kind of in the middle of commercial, and they're coming back from commercial right now.
All right.
I don't know if you want to push just a
let's push through this break here a little bit,
just a bit,
and see what's happening in this situation here. Let's see if our commissioner could come out and announce a pick in the next minute or two.
I think it will definitely happen in the next minute here.
All right, let's try and squeeze in a call really quick.
No call.
Okay, we don't have a call here. All right, we're eagerly awaiting the Giants' first pick in the draft. Number 4 overall. Who are the three players that have been taken so far? Rock Trowski went number 1 overall.
Emerson, number 2.
All right, to the Rays. And then
Vaughn Lackey, number 3.
Where'd Lackey go to?
The Twins.
The Twins, all right. There it is. Rob Manfred's coming out.
The San Francisco Giants select Jackson Flora, a right-handed pitcher from UC Santa Barbara.
I gotcha.
There it is. Jackson Flora is officially a San Francisco Giant. No pressure, kid. Just need you to save the franchise.
Big kid.
6'5", local
dude's
kid, Giants fan.
Ridiculous fast, but apparently his out is the changeup. He's got this amazing changeup, but I'm with you. If you're not in the top three of this year's draft, I don't know. It could be a while.
Well, it's a high upside pitcher here, which I like that move in that sense. Giants got to develop him, though. And that's the problem, though. The Giants have done a crap job of developing their starting pitchers.
Yeah.
Wizard Hunt had a promising start on Thursday night. Hopefully he can become something. But
he looks like a WWE guy.
Walnut Creek.
That's a good come. Oh, really?
Walnut Creek, Pleasanton, California, Santa Barbara, went to
Foothill, same high Foothill. School as Brandon Crawford.
And on the broadcast right now, they have Cole Hamels doing analysis at the desk, and he says his comparison for Jackson Floro is Kerry Wood.
Oh.
Closest wow. to the big leagues, according to Cole Hamels.
All righty then. Well, hopefully we don't, hopefully he's like Kerry Wood in all the good ways, not in all of the bad ways.
You can take a young Kerry Wood for the first 5 years of his career.
On the other side, I got my conversation with Ron Washington. It's about 16 minutes long, so we'll get to that on the other side. I definitely want to share that. We'll react to this draft pick a little bit as well. Skills, I see you. Don't go anywhere. You want to talk about Dylan Smith. I want to give Dylan Smith flowers. We'll do that with you on the other side. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you.